This morning we were looking at the shepherd in verse number 1 down through verse number 4. We looked at the exhortation of the shepherd and the example of the shepherd. And then the fact that one day the shepherd will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and the evaluation of the shepherd. And I appreciate the Lord. And I'm glad that I've got men in my life. I'm glad that when I ran into my pastor the other day, I didn't have to run from him. I could run to him. Yeah. I'm glad I have a pastor, amen. And I have men in my life. I called Brother Danny a little while back. He was my pastor for 10 years. And I'm just glad that all of us, amen, we need someone that we can look to in that capacity. And I thank the Lord for that, those men that God has put in my life. Now tonight we want to look at a couple more things here. I want us to look at we looked at the shepherd this morning. I want us to look at the chief shepherd tonight. You say, preacher, what do you see in this scripture concerning the chief shepherd? And we know that is the Lord Jesus. And we know that He will appear and that we will receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away if we've been faithful to Him and His call. Well, let me give you several things tonight about the chief shepherd. Number one, I see in verse number 7 that the chief shepherd is caring. Yeah. The Bible said here, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I believe the songwriter got it right, don't you, when he said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. I don't believe there's another in the whole wide world or out of this world that ever cared for us like Jesus. I'm glad tonight that the Bible said that He was tempted in all points like as we are. The Bible said that He's able to succor them that are tempted, amen, and go through tests and trials. He's able to comfort us. You say, preacher, I don't understand how He does it. Well, I don't understand all about it, but I know He does it. I know sometimes He uses the Bible. Sometimes He uses the Holy Spirit. Sometimes He uses God's people to speak a word fitly spoken in due season. Amen. But He cares for us tonight, and I believe that's important. I believe it's important in any relationship to know that our Lord Jesus cares. Amen. Not only do I see the Lord Jesus and that He cares for us, I believe there might have been times like in the life of Joseph, in the life of John the Baptist, times when these men were put away and locked away, that they might have wandered for a small season or a short season. But I tell you what, it didn't take the Lord long to come through and let Him know, amen, that He cared for them. I believe there on the Isle of Patmos when John was exiled, out there on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and for his testimony, that it didn't take long. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. And he heard that voice. It didn't take long. The Lord wanted to show up and let him know that He cared for him. Amen. I believe tonight it's good when the Lord shows up among His people and lets us know He's not forgotten about us. Amen. He knows what we need even before we ask, the Bible said. But He said to ask and we shall receive. I see the shepherd. I see him caring tonight in verse number 7. In verse number 10, I see another aspect of the shepherd. He's calling. Watch in verse number 10. The Bible said, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. I mean, he's glad you were called. Amen. I like what one preacher said. It's not original with me, but he said, justice called, but mercy answered. Amen. I'm glad the Lord called in conviction. Amen. And called on us that are saved by the grace of God. And my friend, we answered that call. Amen. Everybody that's ever been saved has answered that call. I believe we're in a mess today. And one of the reasons is I believe that we've tried to force the matter and force the situation in salvation, when there will be no salvation except from a call from God. Amen. I believe the Lord Jesus, amen, said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, he said, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. I believe it's important tonight to understand the call of God. You say, well, preacher, who does the Lord call? I know this. The Bible said this was the true light. that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I believe any individual that will act on the light that God gives them, God will give them more light. I see that in the life of Cornelius. Amen. His prayers and his alms were already coming up to God for a memorial before he was ever saved by the grace of God. God said, Peter, I want you to go down there to the house of Cornelius. Amen. And he was doing all that he knew to do. And Peter introduced him to the Savior of the world, of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see the Lord calling. I'm glad he's still calling. I've heard people say this, and I don't know, but I have an idea. Amen. I've heard people say, well, you know, it just don't seem like the Lord's calling men to preach and calling missionaries and calling pastors out like he once did. This is just with me. I believe he's still calling. I just believe that other things has got people's attention and they're not answering the call. Amen. That's what I believe. I believe the Lord has everything on this earth that he needs. Amen. To get the job done. Amen. For the glory of God. And I believe we ought to be appreciative of the fact that one day we were walking along our own way, living in our own sin, wallowing in it. Amen. But the Lord called. And thank God we answered the call and he picked us up out of that muck and out of that mire. Give us a little place, amen, to serve him till he comes. I see the chief shepherd in this text carrying. I see him calling. But let me give you this. This is no less important. I see him coming. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, look in verse number 1. The Bible said here, the elders which are among you I exhort, whom also am an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I believe part of this right here, there's probably a dual application here. Part of this is talking about, my friend, when Peter was up there on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, he saw him transfigured. He was whiter than the fuller's white. Peter got to see Jesus transfigured. He got to see Moses. He got to see Elijah. You say, preacher, what did he get? He got just a little taste of what's coming when the Lord Jesus comes again. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, we're not all going to sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. I don't know about you, but I'm glad tonight that this old vile body's not going. Amen. Maybe you think a lot more of your body than vile, but I'll tell you right now, in the light of that body that he has waiting for us, this is a vile body. Amen. Thank God he has a new body, and thank God he's coming again. Watch now. He said, a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And then you get down to verse number 4. He said, when the chief shepherd shall appear. I believe with all of my heart, this whole message is revolving around rejoicing. That jumping up and down with gladness. Amen. And I tell you tonight, if we look at the shepherd and we look at the chief shepherd, the fact that he's caring for us ought to cause us to jump up and down. The fact that he's calling for us ought to cause us to jump up and down. And thank God Almighty, the fact that he's coming for us ought to cause us, my friend, to jump up and down with gladness and rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, tonight he's coming. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Let me give you this tonight. It's kind of just a little illustration. My daddy, he had an old Ford pickup truck. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with the church or not. If I have, you bear with me. Yeah, but he had an old Ford pickup truck. It had a 6-cylinder motor in it. And daddy didn't have a lot of money. He's raising 6 kids, working 2 and 3 jobs. And daddy needed an exhaust on his truck. Well, he had access to some 1.5-inch galvanized pipe. And my daddy was a welder. Amen. And so he run him some galvanized pipe from up there at the front where it wasn't rusted out. He run it over there and he elbowed it up through the bed of the truck. I'm telling you, there wasn't another truck up there in Edgewood, Maryland that sounded anything like it. Amen. Didn't have a muffler on it. Why would you put a muffler on a 6-cylinder anyway? Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know where you're going. Stay with me just a minute. Daddy used to give me some instruction. Amen. Daddy never gave me instruction in the morning because I was still asleep when Daddy left the house. Daddy left the house at 5:30 every morning, went out to work. But he'd always give me the instruction the evening before. He might say, son, I need you to mow the grass when you get in from school tomorrow evening. Or he might say, son, I need you to take out the trash when you get in from school. He'd just give me some instruction. Whatever he wanted me to do, he would tell me. By the way, it didn't hurt me. Say amen right there. It didn't hurt me a bit. Amen. And I come in from school and I can remember a couple instances where that I said, well, you know, I got to mow the grass. But then a buddy would come by and say, let's go play tennis. We used to like to play tennis. You could walk over to the high school. It didn't take but about 20 minutes to walk over there. And you could play tennis over there, play basketball, do whatever you wanted to do at the high school. And I might say, well, I got to mow the grass. He said, oh, come on, you can mow the grass when you get back. And I'd agree to that. Amen. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. You get over there and you lose track of time. Are you listening to me? Say amen. I believe there's a lot of people lost track of time. I said the King's coming. Amen. And my friend, we need to be on time. Amen. And looking at things in His time. But you know, I can remember sitting there on the front porch and being over there playing tennis. And I'd look at my watch and know good and well that Daddy was on his way home. And race, get on that bicycle and race back to the house. Amen. And my friend, I could hear that old muffler. I mean, plumb up there in front of the high school, I could hear that muffler coming. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say I hadn't been doing what I ought to been doing. Are you listening to me? Amen. And I knew that where I lived, it wasn't going to be a pleasant situation. Say amen. I'm telling you what, I grew up. We got to the place where Daddy wouldn't whoop me over something like that. He really wouldn't. Amen. But I tell you what he would do. He'd just look at you. And oh, my friend, listen, I wish he'd have whooped me. I believe a whooping would have been easier than that look of disappointment, Brother Jeff, in his eye when he said, son, all I asked you to do was this, and you went off and done your own thing. I want to say tonight to the children of the living God, we can't afford to be off doing our own thing when the King of Kings comes to take us home. Amen. We need to be about our Father's business. Oh, my friend, listen, if we're off doing our own thing, the Bible's got a word for us over there. 1 John chapter number 2, the Bible said we'll be ashamed before Him at His coming. Amen. Oh, we don't want to be ashamed, do we? Amen. When we come, you say, preacher, are you listening for a muffler? No, I'm listening for a trumpet. Hallelujah. He's going to take us out of here. One day after a while, He promised to come and take us home. Amen. What a blessing that is tonight. I see the chief shepherd. I see Him caring for us. I see Him calling us. And I see Him coming for us. I read something this morning. I'd like to read it in your hearing tonight. This is out of the book of Knight's illustrations. Listen to what this D.L. Moody said. Everybody's heard of him probably, right? D.L. Moody said, I have felt like working three times as hard since I came to understand that my Lord is coming again. What about that? I have felt like working three times as hard since I understood the truth of the matter that my Lord is coming again. I'll say tonight, listen, I believe the coming of the Lord Jesus ought to cause us to rejoice. But my friend, if He finds us AWOL, we ought to be not rejoicing, we ought to be repenting. Amen. And we ought to be saying, Lord, here am I, like Isaiah did. Send me. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, tonight He's caring and He's calling. And He is, my friend, coming for you and for me. Let me give you something tonight. Now in closing, this is the last thing in the message. We saw the shepherd and then we saw the chief shepherd. Let's take just a look tonight at the sheep. The sheep and several things here in the Word of God. Concerning the sheep. Number one, I want to say this tonight about the sheep. The sheep need a guide. The sheep need a guide. Now listen, take this into consideration right here. You say, well, preacher, you're the shepherd. I'm an under shepherd and I understand that, but I'm also a sheep. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
But so I'm not preaching at you, not preaching to you. All of us need a guide. Amen. I'll show it to you in the scripture tonight. The Bible said over there in the book of Psalms in chapter number 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's the one that leads me beside the still water. We need a guide. Listen to these scriptures tonight. Turn in Psalms chapter number 32 just for a moment. And let these scriptures speak to our hearts tonight. In Psalm chapter 32 and verse number 8, he said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Boy, that reminds me of Miss Eve. Say amen. Now, them youngins sitting on the pew, and she didn't even have to do anything. All she had to do was look at them, and she was guiding them with her eye. Amen. And she's got a classroom full of seventh graders, and sometimes it's the same way. But the Lord said, I will guide thee with mine eye. Amen. Watch here now in Psalm chapter 48 and verse number 14, what the Word of God said. That the shepherd is to guide us. We ought to rejoice that He will and He does guide us. In verse number 14, He said, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Aren't you glad? Thank God He'll never leave us, never forsake us. He's not going to leave us to ourselves. Amen. He's going to be our guide because He is our shepherd. The sheep need a guide. Look at chapter 78 and verse number 24. We'll get back over to our text in Peter. In Psalm 78 and verse number 24. Listen to what the Bible said here. And he had rained down. I've missed that one somewhere. Chapter 78. No, I've missed that. That's not the verse I was looking for. No, that's not it. I'm not sure where it is now either. Amen. I've written down the wrong reference in that one. I thought I ran every one of them this morning. But I'll tell you this. He is our God. And I thank the Lord for that. Don't you? Amen. Let's look at this now. Not only do the sheep need a guide. And we know that. He's our shepherd. He leads us. Amen. He's out in front of us. He's not driving us. But we also need grace. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look in verse number 10 here. The Bible said, but the God of all grace. Let me say this tonight. You can say, well, preacher, I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to tell you how you're going to follow Him. By the grace of God. Nobody's following Him outside of the grace of God. There's nothing in your flesh that wants to follow Him. There's nothing in this world that wants to follow Him. Everybody that's following Him is following Him by the grace of the living God. Amen. And tonight, He said He's the God of all grace. The sheep need a guide. The sheep need grace. Amen. We need grace to understand. We need grace to follow. We need grace, amen, to help us along the way. The Bible said the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. You say, preacher, what do we need grace for? We need grace to suffer. And we need grace to understand that our suffering is just for a while. We need grace to understand that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. The Apostle Paul, he listed all those things: shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, left outside the city for dead, perils of water, perils of countrymen. He talked about, my friend, perils among false brethren. And then he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You say, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things which are seen. I'm going to tell you where a lot of people's rejoicing has went. It's went with looking at the things which are seen instead of looking at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We need to get our eyes, amen, on Him. Get our eyes on things above. Set our affections on things above. And we need the grace of God to do that. He said, after you suffered a while. He said, I'm going to use suffering to perfect you. I'm going to use suffering to establish you. I'm going to use suffering to strengthen you. I'm going to use suffering to settle you. I've heard Brother Eddie talk about in his testimony about the bout that he went through with cancer and some of the things that God taught him in that bout. And listen, on this side of it, while you're going through it, it's not pleasant. But on this side of it, you wouldn't trade it for anything in this world, because God helped you to settle and get established. And he's working to perfect us. Amen. Be more like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, tonight, the God of all grace, we need a guide and we need grace. But let me give you this tonight. We need a guard. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look what the Bible said here in verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, tonight, every day, he's devouring them. And we need a guard. We need to keep our guard up. We need to put on the whole armor of God. And we need to realize, my friend, that we're not exempt in this thing. He wants you and he wants me. He wants our church. He wants the church down the road. He wants your children. He wants my children. He wants your grandchildren and he wants my grandchildren. Amen. And so the Bible said, Peter said, listen, be sober. I believe Peter's a good one to teach us about that, to be vigilant. Remember what Jesus told him? He said, Peter, he said, Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you like wheat. I believe when Peter's writing this down, Brother Houston, he's thinking like this. He almost had me too. Amen. He had me out there warming by the devil's fire, cursing, denying that I even knew him. You say, how in the world did Peter make it back? I'll tell you how. By the grace of God. That's why he's writing to us, to be on guard. Don't let your guard down. Amen. I say this to us as a church. We need to be on guard. Don't let your guard down. He said, preacher, things are going well. I know, and I thank God they are. But don't let your guard down, because Satan wants in any way that he can. He wants in. My friend, if God's happy, he's not happy. If God's blessing, he's not happy. If God's helping us, he's not happy. Amen. I tell you tonight, the old devil never has been happy while God's doing. Oh, I'm not going to preach that tonight, but you go over to the book of Nehemiah and find out about Sanballat and Tobiah, amen, and how they mocked the Jews and made fun of the Jews and tried to stop the work. Why? Because Satan had filled their heart. Amen. They hated the work of God. You can mark this down. There are some people that are glad and rejoicing when things are going around well at the church. But you can mark this down. Everybody ain't glad. Everybody ain't rejoicing. Amen. Mark her down. Amen. Mark her down. I believe tonight we need a guide as the sheep of God. We need grace as the sheep of God. And we need a guard as the sheep of God. We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I believe this. I was preaching to the man in prison one time. And you see, the Bible said put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Well, to think about that. I don't know if I can name them all, but the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins girt about with truth. The Bible talks about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. I believe that's getting pretty close. Amen. Maybe not in the right order. But I tell you something right now. If you leave a hole in the armor, do you think Satan's going to be shooting at the armor or shooting at the hole? You're going to be shooting at the hole. And he's a pretty good aim. Somebody help me right there. Every man in this building, he knows exactly what your weakness is. Oh, you say, preacher, I don't have a weakness. I beg your pardon. Say amen. Every woman, every teenager in this building, Satan knows what her weakness is. That's where he's a-firing. That's where he's a-shooting. Amen. And we need to put on the whole armor of God. Watch this now. We need a guide. We need a guide. We need grace. And we need guard. A guard. We need to guard our heart. because out of it are the issues of life. Amen. We need with all diligence to keep our heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Then I want to say this in closing tonight. One day the sheep are going to meet in glory. Amen. Because of God's guide, because of God's grace, because of God's guard, we're going to meet with God in glory one day after a while. Amen. Peter said here in chapter number 5 and verse number 1, he said, I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He said in verse number 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory which fadeth not away. The Bible said in verse number 11, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Take your Bible and turn to Revelation for just a moment. Revelation chapter number 5. Revelation chapter number 5. You say, preacher, what will it sound like in glory? I believe this is a good idea right here. He said, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Look at verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then he said, let every creature which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. I don't know about you, but I believe when God's people gather around the throne, amen, there's going to be rejoicing like you've never seen before. Rejoicing like you've never experienced before. I'm going to tell you right now, if you ever one time get happy in Jesus, it's hard on this old body. Amen. It'll make you tired in a hurry. Amen. But I tell you this, he's going to give us a body that won't get tired. It won't be hard. It'll be easy to fall down before the Lamb. Worship him. Worship him. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy. Worthy, worthy. And for the children of God, it's going to be glory, glory, glory. And for those that die without Christ, it's going to be gloom. Gloom. The Bible said there's going to be weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Amen. I tell you, they're going to, my friend, listen, they're going to be tormented forever and forever. But for you and I, it's going to be glory, going to be glory. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. Over there in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 5, Peter said, hey, I want to say something to the shepherd. I want to say something about the chief shepherd. But he said, I want to say something to the sheep. I thank the Lord tonight that we can be his sheep through the new birth. I tell you tonight, you know, when I got saved, I got a new father. Jesus told that bunch of religious Pharisees and Sadducees, he said, you're of your father the devil. And the lust of your father will you do. I spent 27 years of my life like that. Amen. But thank God for the day I got a new father. Thank God for the day I was born into a new family. You can't join this family. You have to be born into the family of God. Amen. Thank the Lord tonight for glory. Thank the Lord tonight. He's coming again. Are you glad of that this evening? Are you glad when Peter said he witnessed the sufferings of Christ? He witnessed them afar off. Are you walking tonight afar off, or are you walking close to the Lord tonight? If he come tonight, would you be ashamed before him at his coming? Or could you get up and say, preacher, I've been looking for him. I've been listening for the sound. I've been living for him. Amen. I'll tell you, if you have, that's just evidence. The Bible said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. How many besides me has got some purifying needs to be done in your life? Anybody? Amen. I'll tell you what, if we're looking for the Lord, that'll help us. Amen. To purify ourselves even as he is pure. I thank the Lord tonight, the chief shepherd, he's coming. The under shepherd's going to answer to him, and the sheep are going to answer to him. You know, I've had countless people in the ministry. They've told me this. Well, preacher, what about old so-and-so? And they'll name somebody. I've even had them name people in the church. What about what old so-and-so did? I said this. This is what I always tell them. When you stand before God, God's not going to require old so-and-so of you. It's going to be you and him. Amen? I love my wife, and God made us one. But there's going to come a day she's going to stand before him, and I'm going to stand before him. And the pastor will stand before him. The sheep will stand before him. Our deacons will stand before him. That ought to make us pray for him. Our teachers will stand before him. Brother Brian, and give an account. Everything that we've stood and taught. Amen. You say, preacher, what does that do? That ought to sober us up. Take it seriously. Amen. We ought to be wanting to find the mind of God. I told Brother Jeff this morning. He was here, Brother Castle. I told Brother Jeff, he said, preacher, that was for me if it wasn't for nobody else. And I said, well, Brother Jeff, I tried my best to get around it. That's the truth. I looked in other places in the Scripture. I said, Lord, I believe I can preach that message tonight on Sunday night. I believe you want me to preach it and finish up 1 Peter. Tried my best to go around it. How many is glad God knows what we need? When we need it, where we need it, who needs it? God knows what we need. Amen. I believe the Lord's good to us, don't you? Amen. I'm looking for him. Are you looking for him tonight? Amen. I guarantee you, Brother Jimmy, Sister Della's looking for him. Ain't nothing holding her down here. Amen. Brother Jimmy, ain't nothing holding him down here. Ready, ready to go. Amen. What a blessing it's been to Sister Geraldine's been able to come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But I tell you one thing, you won't talk to her long and you'll find out she's homesick. Yes, she's still got that mind, amen, to know that the King is coming, amen. Going to take us out of this mess, amen. Until then, we need to occupy, amen. Spend our days with wisdom, amen. Teach us, Lord, to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. I believe that's Psalm 90. It's over in Psalm somewhere. Amen. Teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. One old preacher said it like this. He said, my greatest fear is not that I will fail. He said, my greatest fear is that I will succeed in that really does not matter. Think about that for just a moment. There are people killing themselves to succeed in things that really do not matter. I go back to that statement Brother Lowell shared with me 6 months ago or so. He said, 100 years from now, it ain't going to matter anyway, preacher. That's the truth. There's a lot of things that's not going to matter 100 years from now. Not going to matter. But I tell you what, there's a lot of things that are going to matter 100 years from now. Teach us, Lord, to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. I mean, he's glad you come tonight. I mean, he's glad to be one of his sheep. If you're not one of his sheep tonight, you need to be. You can be. He wants you to be. He died for you. Amen. So that you might be saved by the grace of God. That he might be our shepherd, be our guide all the way.